Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This is the true story of an Iowa farm boy and his beautiful young bride.
He was madly in love with her.
And the torrid love triangle that ripped them apart.
This is explosive.
It's a tale of obsession.
They were almost addicted to one another.
Paranoia.
He had to check on her. If he couldn't get her on the phone, he'd go looking.
And the ultimate betrayal.
I've heard a lot of 911 calls. But I've never heard somebody actually dying on the phone.
Beware. Extreme passion can lead to shocking consequences. Boone County, Iowa is the postcard image of America's heartland, with its vast open fields and quaint farmhouses.
Boone County is a community about 50 miles north of the city of Des Moines. And it's a mostly agricultural town.
It's a rural community. A lot of corn, a lot of soybeans.
It's also a community of homespun values, where neighbors keep a close watch on one another.
It's the kind of place where everybody knows each other, where rumors spread faster than they do in a large city.
Shane Hill has lived in Boone County his entire life, and he looks the part.
Shane is a large man, muscular, from working outdoors, your typical Iowa farm boy.
He was very kind-hearted. He was like that with everybody. Shane was the happiest when he was fishing, hunting. There was times that he would actually quit his job to be able to go do those things.
It's 2005, and Shane has been married to the love of his life, Jessica, for 3 years. At 28 years old, the handsome and rugged outdoorsman is 5 years older than his wife.
She was actually still in high school when they met. I think he would have probably married her the day he met her. He was madly in love with her. She was just a great match for him.
The allure of the vivacious 23-year-old is undeniable.
Jessica was young and attractive, her whole life in front of her still.
She was a very pretty, blonde, fit girl. She enjoyed doing things outdoors, so she had the physique for it.
But her beauty disguises a troubled background.
Jessica did have a very rough childhood. She was in and out of foster cares. While Shane was dating her, she was sneaking out of the foster care system to go see him.
Jessica was always very needy for attention. I think a lot of that probably had to do with her strained relationship with her own family.
Shane showers her with the love and affection she never got as a child.
It must have felt like she hit the emotional jackpot. Finally, she could feel like she had everything that she's ever wanted.
But things are about to get a whole lot more complicated for this young couple in love. For the past 4 years, Jessica, Shane, and their two toddlers have shared a small trailer on his parents' property with Shane's best friend, Daniel Blair. As roommates long before Jessica entered the picture, Shane and Daniel have been inseparable for years.
Daniel was a shorter but stocky individual, and he was also a rugged type individual.
Daniel was a lot like Shane. I think that's why they got along so well. They were more than brothers. You would have thought that they had been together since they were born.
Like Jessica, Daniel also struggled through a painful childhood until he was rescued by Shane and his family.
Daniel had a rough upbringing. He bounced around from foster home to foster home.
When he and Shane got together, then we pretty much took him under our wing and took care of him.
Christmas, Danny had presents under the tree, just like everybody else in the family.
By all appearances, their close bond hasn't been weakened by Shane's marriage to Jessica. But deep down, Daniel is jealous of Jessica's role in Shane's life.
I think Daniel saw Shane as moving on. Obviously, he has a wife, a child, probably doesn't have as much time to spend with Daniel as he had in the past. I'm sure Daniel resented that a little.
As for Shane, he can't imagine life without his best friend and his wife.
Part of Shane's identity is being the provider and bringing everybody together. So he was never going to tell Daniel he couldn't live with him and his wife.
But someone in this trio will soon decide that three is one too many. By the beginning of 2005, with two small children to feed and Jessica not working, Shane's modest income from farming is no longer enough. So he's forced to find another job.
It's just gonna be hard. You're not gonna be here.
I know. It's just a couple days, okay? I'll be back.
He knew that it was necessary at that point to get something that would make more money, and he started driving truck.
Jessica begins to dread Shane's long absences.
Shane was making more money driving semi, but was spending less time at home.
I love you.
I love you too.
He'd be gone for a week, 2 weeks at a time, and I think that may have started causing some problems.
As weeks turn into months, Jessica feels increasingly isolated at home without Shane.
As a young wife and mother, she's sitting at home raising two kids, throwing the stressful situation of the lack of money, their living arrangements. This would be hard on anyone, but especially such a young mother.
I think she needed that constant companionship with Shane.
Until now, circumstances have forced Jessica and Daniel into being very unlikely roommates. But with Shane's frequent absences, their relationship is about to be propelled into a very different realm.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
What's wrong?
While Shane's gone, Daniel steps in as kind of a surrogate father and helps out around the house.
Hey, stop. Sit down.
Jessica needed somebody to fill in that time, give her the attention she craved. Daniel fit right into that mold.
Daniel really doesn't have a job, so he's free to pay attention to her 24 hours a day.
He has found a way into Jessica's life.
It's gonna be okay.
He can swing in and be a hero.
I can't do this by myself.
Look, you just need to relax, calm down.
But as they grow closer every day Shane's away, the two are unaware they're sailing straight into dangerous territory. By the spring, after months of spending time alone, the conversation turns especially intimate.
She starts to talk to Daniel about the difficulties and the struggles she's having, not only with raising the family, but with Shane being gone all the time. Daniel kind of becomes a sounding board, kind of a shoulder to lean on.
Daniel sees this as his moment to come in and be the good guy.
In an instant of weakness, their emotional connection sparks an intense desire. And despite any guilt Daniel or Jessica may be feeling for betraying Shane, they give in to the impulse they've been fighting for weeks.
Daniel and Jessica can't hide their feelings anymore for one another, and they end up crossing the line. And it's incredibly exciting because they've been harboring these feelings for a long, long time, trying to hide it, and now they get to really express their feelings.
Shane's gone. She's getting that human contact that she craves.
It's really the ultimate betrayal.
In the weeks that follow, Jessica and Daniel savor each moment together. But when the unsuspecting husband is home, the new lovers make sure to keep their affair under wraps.
That had to have been quite awkward for Jessica and Daniel to appear just to be friends.
Is it ready yet?
I do not believe that Shane was aware of the bond that Jessica and Daniel had formed.
Every time he returns home from a trip, both Daniel and Jessica have to turn off their feelings towards one another and pretend that they are just friends.
Can you give me some buns, please?
Daniel is finding the situation almost impossible to handle.
Dan gets to the point in the relationship that he wants to be with Jessica all the time. Obviously, Shane is going to get in the way of that.
Shane still thinks of him as his best friend. He doesn't know what's happening when he's gone.
For the next few months, despite the risk they're taking, Jessica and Daniel continue to flirt with disaster.
This is very, very explosive. It wasn't only about sex. They really found that they were almost addicted to one another. This type of situation cannot be kept a secret. And in a bizarre way, they kind of like the idea of getting caught, because that is also part of the thrill.
But the excitement they crave will lead them down a treacherous path. And the deceitful pair will soon find their scandalous love story has a deadly finale.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
In the rural community of Boone County, Iowa, Shane's wife, Jessica, has been involved in a passionate affair with Daniel while her husband is on the road. But Daniel is not only their roommate, he also happens to be Shane's closest friend. One afternoon in the spring of 2005, the lovers are deep in the throes of their illicit romance when they're suddenly interrupted.
My brother came home from work unexpected and caught Daniel and Jessica in bed together.
It's one thing to discover an affair, but it's a whole different ballgame when you actually see your best friend with your wife. That is so traumatic, it's almost unimaginable.
I know that he never would have expected that Daniel would have done that to him. I know he never expected that from his wife.
As the agonizing reality sinks in, Shane explodes with rage.
You are my best friend!
He was furious. He picked up a TV and threw it.
Shane, stop, please!
What is wrong with you?
I believe that Jessica feared for her safety.
But she does everything she can to placate her husband.
Jessica's able to calm Shane down long enough for Daniel to get his things together and exit the trailer. Jessica follows too, and both are gone.
Within the next few days, Jessica files a restraining order against Shane and takes the children to live with Daniel in a nearby town.
I think the period that Daniel and Jessica started to live together was another honeymoon stage for her. She was out of the trailer behind her in-law's house. She was with a new boyfriend.
As for Daniel, he's still racked with guilt for betraying the man who's been like a brother to him. But nothing matters more than having Jessica as his own.
Daniel and Jessica had formed a bond.
They really emotionally relied on each other. They almost became instant family to one another.
And besides, stealing her away from Shane is feeding Daniel's fragile male ego.
For Daniel, this was a very exciting win. He got the girl that he loved.
Now, living alone in the trailer, Shane is emotionally devastated.
My brother, at this point, has lost his best friend, his beautiful wife that he loved, his children, and the home that he had spent years building.
But the more he thinks about the lies and deception, one emotion overrides all the rest. Revenge.
After the affair between Daniel and Jessica was discovered, there was a lot of tension. The situation infuriated Shane to the point where he had expressed physical harm to both of them.
He even went as far as to tell his brother that he'd like to kill them both.
While Shane simmers with anger, his runaway wife is slowly realizing that her new romance isn't as fulfilling as she expected. Daniel is not nearly as ambitious as her hardworking husband.
I think once the reality did set in about what life with Daniel would be like, Jessica started to have second thoughts.
She no longer had the husband making the money so she could stay at home. She no longer had that stability that she had spent so long trying to find.
After just a few months with Daniel, Jessica returns to her husband, Shane, and begs for his forgiveness.
Hey.
Being away from Shane was far more difficult than she ever imagined.
It's a mistake.
But her abandoned spouse isn't quite ready to roll out the welcome mat, and he quickly lays down the law.
Shane, I'm sorry.
Sure you are.
Shane expressed to Jessica in very short terms that, hey, this will never happen again. You're never taking my children again.
Once Jessica agrees to his conditions, Shane decides to give their marriage another go.
Ultimately, through all of it, even all the disappointment and the hurt, my brother wanted his family back.
Not long after the troubled couple reunites, Shane moves Jessica and the kids out of state when he gets a temporary job working on a pipeline.
They took off for a new start.
Shane went to Kansas to get Jessica away from Daniel completely.
He wanted to start over. He wanted to make the life that would keep Jessica happy.
While they were there, they didn't seem to have any problems, and they seemed to be happy.
But those happy days are destined to be short-lived. A few months later, Shane's job ends. The family is forced to return to the trailer in Iowa. Suddenly, the once jilted husband is struck with a heightened sense of paranoia.
It was probably hard to come back to Iowa. He had to be a little leery of what was waiting for him. He started to become a little more controlling than he had been in the past, occasionally popping into the trailer to make sure she was there or where she said she was.
Why are you not picking up your phone?
Shane had no trust in her whatsoever.
Is something going on?
He had to check on her. If he couldn't get her on the phone, he'd go looking. He watched her every move.
It probably was becoming the borderline obsession.
When I call you, pick up the phone.
Jessica and Shane Hill are starting over, but Shane's suspicion and mistrust following Jessica's betrayal have not gone away. One false move, and the situation will turn deadly. Amid the rolling farmland of Boone County, Iowa, Jessica and Shane Hill are picking up the pieces of their shattered marriage after Shane discovered his wife in bed with his best friend, Daniel. But Shane is still tormented by the fear that Jessica will stray again. He takes a job nearby so that he can keep a close eye on his wife.
Shane finds work at a sheep farm just north of the home.
He could work whatever hours he wanted to, and this gave him a lot of flexibility to spend more time with his family.
While Jessica works hard to win back her husband's trust, she makes sure to keep her former lover at bay.
Jessica had warned Daniel to stay away from the neighborhood.
Jessica was concerned that if Dan came around, or if there was any type of flirtation between Dan and her, that Shane would potentially go off on Dan and hurt him.
But Jessica's advice doesn't stop Daniel from reaching out to Shane. For the past few weeks, Daniel has repeatedly called Shane in the hopes of healing their friendship. He's tormented by the guilt of betraying his closest friend.
Daniel was seeking forgiveness from Shane, and Shane was never ready to do that.
Shane obviously still harbored a lot of resentment towards Dan.
So with Shane rebuffing his attempts to make amends, Daniel moves on with a new buddy, Aaron Moss.
Aaron was a bit brawny, a big country Iowa boy.
Aaron had a troubled childhood as well. He had a rough life growing up. He was in foster care, so he didn't really have a stable upbringing. Aaron was kind of the silent figure, you know, in the back, but always had Dan's back no matter what they did.
For now, all is calm. Jessica and Shane are working to rebuild their marriage, and Daniel has moved on with his new friend, Aaron. But just below the surface, they're each struggling to contain feelings of rage and lust that, if unleashed, will have tragic consequences. It's Memorial Day 2007. A frantic call comes in to the Boone County Emergency Services.
911, what is the emergency?
The Boone County Sheriff's Office dispatch receives a 911 call from a man who's telling them that he's been shot. He believes that a ricochet round has hit him.
I shot myself. I don't know. The gun just went off.
He's in a lot of pain. You can hear the desperation in his voice.
The caller tells dispatch that the gun was going back in the holster, and he thinks it went off as he was putting it in his holster. He tells the dispatch that we can't feel his legs.
Suddenly, the call is disconnected.
After the call ended, the caller made a call to a close friend.
He asks the friend at this point to notify his family so that they can get help there and bring help to him at the farm.
At around 11 a.m., the phone rings at the Hill residence. The voice on the other end has alarming news.
I heard my husband say that somebody had been shot, so I ran around asking him who had been shot.
It's her son, Shane, and he's fighting for his life.
Shane calls 911 again.
Oh, my God.
His voice is more desperate. You can tell he's in pain.
Then, a sudden, startling sound is heard in the background.
You hear a loud pop on the recording.
Sir?
And it's clear, based on his reaction with his voice, that he had been shot again.
Just read this lab again, please, Eric. Oh, my God.
What happened, sir? Sir? What's going on, sir?
And then you hear him go silent.
Are you there, sir? Sir?
It's really a devastating phone call to listen to. You hear his last breaths. Just heartbreaking. I've heard a lot of 911 calls, but I've never heard somebody actually dying on the phone.
Police arrive only 11 minutes after the initial call to 911.
The responding officer finds Shane lying on his back with a gun laying to his right, a cell phone laying nearby him as well.
Authorities secure the area and begin to survey the scene.
They recover a .45 caliber handgun that had been recently fired.
There was also an empty shell casing that would have come from that gun that was lying near him, confirming that he had fired the gun recently prior to his death.
Nothing seemed out of order, is what the caller had told us. It appeared that this could have been an accidental death. There were plenty of things to ricochet around off of. There was nothing at the scene to make me believe that anything other than an accidental shooting had happened.
But when investigators take a closer look at Shane's body, they're baffled by what they discover.
They roll the victim over, and there's an obvious gunshot wound to his back near the spine, and that would be a very unusual place to accidentally shoot himself. I mean, if he had pulled the gun from a holster, which I believe he had, and he had shot himself in the leg.
Even more troubling is a second bullet wound to Shane's shoulder.
It's not common for someone to shoot themselves, but to shoot yourself twice in a short amount of time, particularly given Shane's familiarity with firearms, would be really unheard of.
2 days after his death, detectives have the painful task of presenting the 911 calls to his family before they're released to the media.
We wanted the family to hear them first.
Shane's wife, Jessica, and his mother, Patty, are brought in to hear the recordings.
911 emergency.
I heard the first probably 2 seconds of it, and I was gone. I couldn't do it.
Please, Eric.
You could hear him die. Actually hear him die. And I would not sit there and listen to it.
She had to leave the room before I even got around to playing the second tape.
I can't do this.
But for the victim's wife, Jessica, being privy to the final desperate moments of her husband's life doesn't appear to have the same emotional impact.
There was almost no reaction from Jessica when I played both tapes.
Could it be shock? Or is the young widow masking something far more sinister?
In my, at this time, 15 years of law enforcement, I have never seen a family member react this way. The unemotional response really drew a cue with me in that, is there more to this investigation than what we have uncovered so far.
Before he died, Shane was convinced that he shot himself. But mounting evidence is beginning to point in a very different direction. Was Shane's death an accident? Or was it murder? Shane Hill has been killed by gunshot wounds he believed he fired from his own gun. His last breaths were captured in a series of harrowing 911 calls.
Sir?
Shane Hill was the only witness to his death that we know of, and he had made a phone call not once, not twice, but three times, and told three different individuals that he had accidentally shot himself.
Shane claimed he fired his gun and the bullets ricocheted and hit him. But to everyone's astonishment, the autopsy tells a very different story.
Once the autopsy's done, it's clear that the wounds are both entry wounds on his back, not something that would be conducive to a ricochet wound. They discover that the bullets have entered at a downward trajectory.
You would not expect that, given if Shane was holding a gun, had accidentally shot himself, it would be unusual for it to be going that direction.
Given the angles, it couldn't have been a ricochet bullet that killed Shane Hill. This leads investigators to a chilling conclusion.
It's beginning to appear not to be so accidental. We're wondering if someone else didn't have a hand in Shane Hill's death.
3 days after the shooting, Shane's mother, Patty, contacts police with compromising information about her daughter-in-law, Jessica, and her former lover, Daniel.
We get a call from Patty Hill, Shane's mom. And she indicates that she's recovered a laptop computer that has messages on it.
The last time Jessica was on the laptop, she didn't log out of it. So when I opened it up, her messages were there, Daniel's messages were there. He had said that he loved her and he missed her and they would be together soon.
That indicates to her that Daniel Blair and Jessica Hill are involved currently in another affair.
I did not believe it. That was Shane's wife. Jessica wouldn't do anything like that.
Investigators now realize they're dealing with a possible love triangle.
An affair is definitely a motive for murder.
2 hours later, Jessica is brought in for questioning.
They ask her a lot of questions about the relationship with Dan Blair.
What can you tell us about that?
About her relationship with Shane, about what was really going on.
When was the last time you saw him?
Jessica insists that she had no contact with Daniel. But when investigators make it clear, they know she's lying. She has no choice but to start talking.
We did talk all the time.
Okay.
I chased him down once when I saw him just to see how it was doing.
Jessica then begins to talk some about the fact that they had had an ongoing sexual relationship at the time of Shane's death.
At some point, the innocent text messages grow back into a physical relationship.
I would usually go over to his place.
Detectives then switch gears and press the cheating wife for information about the murder and any indication that either she or her lover Daniel were involved.
She doesn't think that he had anything to do with the murder, and she's very clear that she didn't have anything to do with Shane's death.
But detectives aren't buying any of it. Just before midnight, police bring Daniel in to be questioned.
They ask Dan about his relationship with Jessica. Dan indicates that their relationship had been ongoing. They had had multiple sexual encounters.
He admits that he had had sexual relations with her even within the last week or two.
You love Jessica, don't you?
I've always loved her.
Investigators then focus on the shooting of Shane Hill.
They start to ask him very pointed questions about Shane's death and how it happened. And that's when things really turn in the investigation.
Daniel suddenly makes a stunning revelation about his whereabouts the day Shane was killed. He says he was at the farm that day, and he wasn't alone.
Who was with you that day?
was an error.
Yeah.
Daniel admits he and Aaron brought a high-powered rifle to the farm.
When did you guys start making the plans to use the gun?
That was all up to Aaron. And Aaron is the one that pulled the trigger.
Aaron is the one who shot Shane. But in his attempt to deflect the blame for Shane's death, Daniel has made a fatal mistake.
He believes that by saying that he didn't actually load the gun and shoot Shane Hill, that he doesn't think that he's responsible for the murder.
I don't think that Daniel realized with what he was telling us, he was describing premeditation and the planning of Shane Hill's death.
He's directly involved, as he described. He's just as guilty as the person who pulled the trigger.
He had no idea that he was confessing to first-degree murder.
Daniel is immediately arrested and charged.
We walked into the interview room, and we told him to place his hands behind his back because he was under arrest for first-degree murder.
But I didn't do anything.
Armed with new information, interrogators then confront Aaron Moss, was far less willing to provide a confession.
Aaron Moss was being interviewed in the next room, and he quickly decided he didn't want to give any information.
Come on.
At the conclusion of Daniel's interview, we had enough evidence for both Aaron Moss and Daniel Blair to be charged with first-degree murder.
But what about Shane's widow, Jessica, the object of Daniel's desire? Did she also play a role in her lover's grisly plan? Detectives are about to uncover the final piece of the puzzle that will reveal the truth behind Shane Hill's cold-hearted execution. The Boone County Sheriff's Office is investigating the homicide of Shane Hill. His best friend, Daniel, has just confessed that he and his roommate killed him. But investigators can't help wondering if there's more to the story. At the time Shane was killed, Daniel was having a passionate affair with Shane's wife, Jessica. Detectives pull Jessica's phone records to see if she was in communication with Daniel around the time Shane was killed.
They knew exactly when Shane Hill had been shot. They knew exactly when he had died, so they were able to pinpoint that time. Jessica was in frequent contact with Dan Blair right at the time of Shane Hill's death.
But that's not all. Detectives then focus on a text message exchanged between Daniel and Jessica just prior to the murder.
She says to Daniel on the text message, "I just wish that he would never come home." Daniel texts back and says, "Be careful what you wish for."
4 days after the shooting, detectives find Jessica at Shane's funeral, where she's arrested and charged with first-degree murder. With information gleaned from the interrogations, investigators now know what really happened. When Shane and Jessica moved back to Iowa, the lovers secretly reconnected and picked up their illicit sexual affair where they'd left off. It quickly became clear to the deceitful pair that there was only one thing standing in the way of them being together.
I think it became apparent to both of them that Shane had to be eliminated from the equation for them to work. Daniel being the knight in shining armor, as far as Jessica's concerned, is going to have to do something about this.
According to Daniel's own admission, he approached his roommate Aaron to help him commit the crime.
I told Aaron about how Shane has threatened me numerous times over and over again. And he was, "I'll take care of it." He didn't tell me how. He just said he's gonna take care of it.
And the day of Shane's death, Jessica kept Daniel updated on Shane's whereabouts.
As soon as he leaves, Jessica is on the phone by text with Dan Blair, letting him know that Shane has just left. she gives him all that information.
And then he and Aaron went to the sheep farm where Shane worked and waited for the perfect moment to shoot him.
He and Aaron Moss walked in to the farm. There's an old abandoned house. No one has lived in this home for years, but it has a direct line of sight to where Shane Hill was actually shot. They brought a .30-06 rifle with them, and that's where they set up.
Then, in an astonishing stroke of luck, Shane walked into their line of sight and lifted his gun to kill a coyote.
That's where Aaron Moss pulls the trigger and shoots Shane in the back. Dan then describes that they left the house and walked towards the area where Shane was located on the ground. He gave bullets to Aaron Moss to load into the gun, then describes that Aaron Moss shot him a second time.
I believe the timing of the actual shooting was just a lucky moment for them. It just happened to be these events lined up perfectly for the killers that the person being shot actually thought he shot himself.
By the end of 2007, detectives are able to collect damning forensic evidence against Aaron and Daniel.
Officers were able to recover the gun and send it into the DCI lab for analysis. The DNA that was located on the strap was DNA that was a match to Aaron Moss.
We also recovered some of the ammunition that was used that day to murder Shane Hill.
And on the ammunition were fingerprints that belonged to Dan Blair.
In February 2008, Daniel's trial begins. As the prosecution presents their case, Shane's relatives listen in disbelief.
It was very emotional being at that trial because we raised Daniel. We loved him like he was our own kid.
It was hard to look at him and listen to the things that this person that you had made part of your family could do something so terrible to someone that you love. It was devastating.
After almost 4 hours of deliberation, the jury finds Daniel Blair guilty of first-degree murder.
When we got that guilty verdict back, it was just relieving, but it was horrible to think that somebody we raised could do that to his own brother.
Later that year, without a confession or solid proof that he was the shooter, Aaron Moss is convicted of second-degree murder. In October 2009, Jessica Hill's trial follows.
We sat there and watched her lie, watched her show absolutely no remorse for anything. No tears. She didn't care. That woman was as cold as ice.
On October 27th, she's found guilty of second-degree murder. But a year and a half later, in April 2011, the Iowa Court of Appeals grants Jessica the right to a new trial. With the consent of Shane's family, prosecutors decide not to retry her.
Enough was enough. You know, we've already been through two trials, and now hers, and we just wanted it over. We wanted it to stop.
Instead of a retrial for second-degree murder, Jessica pleads guilty to a lesser charge, conspiracy to commit murder. Despite her reduced sentence, there are those who have no doubts about Jessica's role in the murder of Shane Hill.
Without Jessica Hill, Shane Hill would still be alive. I think in Daniel's mind, given the fact that Shane would always be in the way of his relationship with Jessica, he felt that this was the only way to deal with it. It's obviously not a good way to deal with your problems, but that's the way that Daniel Blair and Jessica Hill chose to deal with their problem.
It was hard for us to understand why she wouldn't just divorce my brother. At least then the kids would still have both parents alive.
All Jessica ever thought about was Jessica. She didn't consider the consequences of anything. She didn't consider her children. She didn't consider her husband. It was her, no matter what. It was always about Jessica.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from L.A. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.